This is Finding Christ in Cinema. You have my permission to listen.
On this episode of Finding Christ in Cinema, we hitch a ride to Pride Rock as we look for Christian themes in The Lion King. Why won't Simba go back home? What changes his mind? All that and more in 3, 2, 1. Come on in. Admission is free. Grab a bowl of popcorn, extra butter, of course, and find a seat smack dab in the middle. It's time for Finding Christ in Cinema, episode number 119. I'm Michael.
And I'm Brendan.
Join us, and together we'll dig deeper into the silver screen classics of yesteryear, as well as the box office hits of today. We'll take a closer look at the stories they tell and see if we find the face of Jesus looking back. We're going to explore the deeper meanings of these films, their plots and their twists, the characters and their choices, and how we can relate them to the gospel of salvation and ultimately our Christian walk. You're tuned into Finding Christ in Cinema on the GCT Network.
This is your Great Commission transmission.
119 episodes. Do you know what that means next episode?
What's that?
120!
Oh man.
My goodness, I can't believe it! Brendan, what did we talk about last week?
Oh, last week we dialed back the years.
Yes!
Shall we say the decades. We talked about Casablanca.
Wow, over 70 years ago that film was made and stands the test of time. To say that is an understatement, I would venture to say. Brendan, what did you have any afterthoughts, addendums, and another thing?
I did.
No, and I think that, well, we'll find out later on in the feedback segment that one listener is happy that we covered it because it forced this person to go ahead and watch this movie.
Oh, I know who you're
talking
about.
Too are now a fan.
Well, good.
Great. Well, the point that you made last episode, I really, really enjoyed that. And I thought that was a powerful point. Just reiterate that to the listeners. It doesn't matter what you struggle with in your life while you're still in this fleshly tent that we dwell in. No matter what you are struggling with, you have faith in Jesus Christ. You can be of earthly good. You just need to do it. Right, Brendan? That's the gist of it, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So if you haven't listened to our discussion on Casablanca, get over to ChristInCinema.com, and you'll find it right there at the top of the page, episode number 118. And what are we talking about this week, Brendan?
Oh, Michael, we're talking about your favorite movie.
Well, with Bryan Cranston, right?
Yes, he plays the voice of Mufasa. We're talking about The Lion King.
The Lion King?
Yes.
Wait, I was expecting another film.
Well, sir, we did a little homework.
Yes.
And we pretty much decided that The Infiltrator might not be the right movie for this show.
Ah, so instead?
So in the vacuum,
yes,
we decided just to go ahead and do Lion King.
Okay, there you go. Let's get this over with. You ready to go to the movies?
I so am. Tsimpenya, mabagi, tiwaba.
It's the circle of life, and it moves us all.
We are all connected in the great circle of life.
Walt Disney Pictures presents its all-new 30-second full-length animated motion picture, The Lion King. He was born to rule.
This will all be mine?
Everything the light touches.
Wow.
But a shadow lies over the kingdom.
I will be king.
Run away and never return.
No! If you ever come back, we'll kill you!
Hey, kid, what's in you?
I don't want to talk about it.
He looks blue.
I'd say brownish gold.
No. I mean, he's depressed.
Anything we can do?
Not unless you can change the past.
He grew up hoping to leave his old life behind.
I know who you are. You're Mufasa's boy.
You're the king.
King? Have you got your lions crossed?
You know my father?
Correction. I know your father.
He died a long time ago.
Nope. Wrong again.
He's alive, and I'll show him to you.
Father?
You are my son, and the one true king.
You see,
He lives in you.
You must take your place in the circle of life.
Simba!
It's a legendary tale filled with excitement. Plus dozens of wonderful new characters.
Why do I always have to save you?
And featuring original music and songs by Grammy winner Elton John and Academy Award winner Tim Rice. This summer, Walt Disney Pictures presents an entertainment event you'll never forget.
Brendan, you were about 4 years old when The Lion King came out, so you grew up with this film.
I think this was one of the first films that I remember actually going to the theater.
Oh!
To see, if not the first film.
Oh, and that's a big event in the life of a little guy.
It sure is.
Do you think that it changed the course of your life? I mean, this is one of those movies that people attach
all kinds
of.
I would say it set a good example for me to follow.
Oh!
We'll talk about that later. We'll talk about that later.
Okay, give me some,
Oh, man, just the nostalgia. Once again, the nostalgia, like we talked about with The Knight's Tale.
Yeah.
So much more so with this film, because like I said, I grew up with this. I remember having a Fisher-Price, not a sponsor, cassette radio, like a little plastic cassette player, and I wore out my Lion King music.
Was it music or a storybook or
no? It was the soundtrack.
Okay,
it was the soundtrack.
Wow.
Specifically, see what it was the song. It wasn't a song that was sung, but it was the song that played after "Be Prepared," which I believe was the song of Mufasa's death.
Oh.
For some reason, I would listen to Be Prepared, get scared, and then my dad's like, hold on, listen to the next track, be at peace, you know, calm down. And that song would always put me to sleep for some reason. I just remember it. And
wow.
I don't know. And then, again, just growing up with it, being excited for, you know, Lion King Part 2, Simba's Pride, and then being disappointed when it came out because it was nowhere near.
What about that? Isn't there a 1.5?
Yeah, we don't talk
about
those.
They just milked it, didn't they?
Yeah, they over-milked it. They over-milked it. Kind of like Black Phillip in The Witch. got over-milked and then, wait a minute.
What do you like about Lion King?
I definitely like the music.
Okay.
And rewatching it, I realized that I like its comparison to Shakespeare.
Oh. Really?
Now I would consider myself well versed in Shakespeare. Now seeing the parallels between Hamlet and The Lion King, you've got the uncle that kills the father who's the true king.
Yes.
And then takes over.
Yes.
Uncle takes over. Uncle pretty much publicly ostracizes the son, the true heir to the throne. Then you've got Rosencrantz and Guildenstern, Hamlet characters equate to Timon and Pumbaa in this film. You've got the prince that comes back. You could say that hen came home to roost.
Yes, 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 yes.
Fortunately, Simba was not arrogant in his revenge. In fact, he wasn't necessarily looking for revenge. He just wanted to get Scar out.
Wow, that really ties in. That point is very important. So, listeners, Brendan, reiterate that.
Well, which one?
Well, what makes Simba different than Hamlet?
Oh, than Hamlet? Not letting his arrogance get in the way of his goings-on.
Yes.
Whereas Hamlet... See, the thing about Hamlet's father, the ghost, when he shows up, he says, you know, avenge me quickly and, you know, don't stall or anything. Hamlet, part of his downfall was that he wanted to milk it. He wanted to draw it out.
Savor.
He wanted to savor it. He wanted to make sure that everyone that affected his father felt some sort of pain.
Yeah.
And he wanted them to be aware of it, be aware of why.
Hey, that's the difference between somebody honoring God and letting God have the vengeance.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Vengeance is mine, but Hamlet wanted the vengeance.
Yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. And Simba doesn't... Okay, so listen, again, take that point and hold on to it until we get to the Christian themes of this film, dear listeners. What else? I mean, come on, pour it out. You've been waiting to do this film for three years.
I want to hear more of what you want to say.
We'll get to that in the... I'll say everything that I have to say about this film in the Christian themes that we pulled out.
Okay.
Okay, this is not my... Okay, I will say this. I don't like The Lion King.
Sure.
I never have. I find it to be... This is just personal. I find it to be an incredibly generic film. It's just, okay, yeah, there's nothing special about it to me. It may also go along with the music, because I can't stand the soundtrack. Oh. It's not the kind of music that I like, and it's cringe-worthy. That would be what I would put on my own cringe website, would be music from The Lion King. But I'll tell you what, Brendan, at Finding Christ in Cinema, we watch films through Christian lenses. We watch films purposefully. We watch films intentionally, and therefore, it automatically has a new effect on this film for me. Now, I can sit down with people and watch The Lion King and enjoy it because I'm just seeing Christian themes coming out at me that I can use in order to point to my, you know, as I'm sitting
double-decker couch
with my friends or loved ones, and I can say, that sure does remind me of... Well, we'll get to that in a few moments down the lane. So now, yeah, Brendan, my opinion of the movie has changed. Not about the music, but the film has changed because I have new lenses to watch it through.
Well, good.
Hopefully we can provide new lenses to listeners today. Okay, so let's go ahead and continue with your upbeat assessment of this film. And let's start on some shout outs to people.
Sure. Oh, first let's talk about FCC's very own James Earl Jones.
Welcome back, Darth Vader. Mm-hmm. Yes, we have had him on episode number 66, number 67, number 68. That would be the original Star Wars trilogy. And then all the way back on episode number 20, he did do some voice work for Star Wars episode 3, Revenge of the Sith. And so it was very wonderful hearing him just practically say, "I am your father, Simba. I am in The Lion King."
Get out of here.
Yeah. Incredible voice.
Yes.
Incredible voice. It's like, how do you get a voice like that?
You deliberately disobeyed me.
Oh, wow. It's majestic.
That's why.
Yeah. James Earl Jones is a lion, man.
Well, he's Jaffe Jaffer, ruler of Zamunda.
What's that?
Coming to America.
Oh, okay. I've never seen that. That's with Eddie Murphy, too. You've been on an Eddie Murphy kick here recently.
I have.
Who else?
Oh, let's talk about FCC's very own Jeremy Scar Irons.
From Aragorn, episode number 16 of Finding Christ in Cinema. He was on episode number 73 in Kingdom of Heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, most recently on episode number 102 when we discussed Batman versus Superman Dawn of Justice Ultimate Edition. Yes. And so there we go. Another guy with the voice of God. With a little G, we'll say that. How do you get a voice like both of these guys? Here I am. I sound like a pipsqueak. Both these guys sound like they're 9 feet tall and could just rip you to shreds.
Well, with the set of lion claws that they had in this movie, they could.
It just, I like voices. And so when I hear a voice that blows me away, which both of those guys, please, Lord, can I sound like either one of them? Even a mix of them, please.
Or better yet, Morgan Freeman.
Oh, well, he's another one.
Hey, we'll talk about him a little bit later.
Hey, well, speaking of Jeremy Irons, we're going to be talking about him coming up pretty soon because he's in the new Batman film titled The Batman. That's a proper title for a Batman film, obviously. And then, no. The Batman is what Batman originally was.
Yeah,
he was not just Batman. He was The Batman, the definite article. Belongs before that. But he'll be, of course, also playing Alfred in Justice League films. And, Brendan, why do I do this to myself when I think of something on the fly and then I have no idea what movie it is that's coming up that I know that I want to watch? And one click away on a hyperlink will get us to Assassin's Creed. He's in the Assassin's Creed film with a bunch of other heavy hitters. Remember when we went to see
Michael Fassbender.
Fassbender, yes.
When we went to go see Doctor Strange.
Yes. You know who else? Who? FCC's very own Brendan Gleeson.
Hey.
Wow.
You know, something was on TV with him in it the other night.
And whatever it was good.
It was. Edge of Tomorrow.
Oh, and...
which we've also covered.
Oh, yes. And FCC's very own Marion Cotillard.
Ooh.
Yeah, in this Assassin's Creed movie, a film that I normally would have no interest in, has all these gigantic heavy hitters from FCC's very own collection. And so we will...
our menagerie.
Yes, our menagerie. Yes, yes, that's right. Going back to Star Trek, the original series.
Tennessee Williams. Anyway, hey, what about Matthew Broderick?
Oh, goodness. I'm so happy to have him in the menagerie now, Star Trek reference there, because... I there's something about Matthew Broderick that I really love, and I think it's his every role that he has just has a super easygoing demeanor. The guy's like nothing ruffles his feathers, kind of.
Well, I would actually say that I kind of see him as like an everyman actor.
That's a good description.
Like he's very
he represents us.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
hey,
I mean,
again, Broderick speaking, can do it.
Speaking of the power of the voice,
yes,
I mean, that's what his voice conveys. Yes. You just hear his voice and you think, oh, I can relate to this guy.
Really? Yep. And of course, I know him originally from Ferris Bueller's Day Off, which is a cult classic, one of my very favorite films. In fact,
is that going on the list?
That should go on Patron St. Philip Presents
the list.
Matthew Broderick, welcome to the menagerie of Star Trek, Williams, Tennessee.
Now, Michael, it's hard for me to follow your notes sometimes.
Oh.
And in this, you have put...
Okay, let me do it. Welcome to the menagerie. Nathan, I'm channeling the spirit of Billy Crystal, even though he's still alive and well, Lane, as Timon. Tell me he was not emulating Billy Crystal to the nth degree. They couldn't get Billy Crystal, and they said, Nathan, maybe one day Billy Crystal will do a movie for us where he can play a little green monster with one eye and everybody will love him, but we can't get him to work for us on this film. Can you be Billy Crystal? He says, can I be Billy Crystal? Why, certainly. Of course I can.
Oh, my goodness.
Brendan.
I mean, you're not wrong. You're not wrong in the slightest.
But I think he does a fine Billy Crystal.
Yeah.
I mean, excellent Billy Crystal. I thought that it was Billy Crystal.
So, I mean, you're right.
Good job, Nathan.
Anyway, welcome to the club.
Yes, the menagerie.
And, of course, Ernie Sabella.
As his sidekick.
Originated the role on Broadway, too.
Oh, really? Okay. And here's what I like about these two guys. Normally, I wouldn't give a shout-out to these two guys. But them together, they really... speaking of channeling the spirit, they together channeled the spirit of vaudeville. Yeah. I mean, they knocked it out of the park. That is their performance, and this is vaudeville to a T. And I love that. Most of my favorite comedians are people that came out of vaudeville back in the early 20th century. And so those two guys together, man, and kids, I guess, your age group, absolutely loved those two guys, right? Eating slugs and bugs and grubs.
Of course.
Yeah.
Slimy yet satisfying.
There you go.
That was my nickname in high school. Wait a minute. Never mind. Don't think about that one too much. And we're back to the trivia.
There you go.
Hey, so how about these Swahili words?
I don't really know much Swahili.
Well, the word Simba means lion.
Oh, well.
And the word Nala means gift. And I'm just reading this from the trivia page on
which anybody could do, but we're doing it for you.
Hey, that's right.
See, that's another service we provide.
Sarabi means mirage. Hmm. Rafiki means friend. Pumbaa means simpleton, weak-minded.
And he's not.
Well, when he was a young warthog, he found that his aroma had a certain appeal. Yeah. Clear the savannah.
Everybody was downwind.
Oh, man. Shinzi. means. Oh, can we talk about Shinzi, Banzai, and Ed?
Oh, the hyenas. Well, Cheech Marin, which I think this might be his first
animated.
No, his first appearance that I can think of on FCC.
Oh, for us,
yes. Which is surprising because Cheech Marin is in everything.
Well, that's true.
In fact, I won't get to your. Never mind.
He was in Cheech and Chong.
Yes, he was, as a matter of fact. Made like cameos in that, I believe.
Is that going on the.
No.
And then, of course, Whoopi Goldberg.
Actually, that first movie is actually really good.
What about Whoopi Goldberg, though?
What about her?
I mean, hey.
Who was she?
What?
Who was she?
She was Banzai.
Who's Bonds? Oh, okay, okay. So one of the...
Wait. How about this one? Make me a curb sandwich. Yeah. What'd you think? A curb sandwich.
Good. Yes, it's good slapstick. Hey,
didn't we order this lunch to go? Because there it goes. It's just that quick, that's, like you said, that vaudevillian.
It is vaudevillian, yes.
That shtick.
Yes.
That shtick. It's very sticky.
Yes.
It's my favorite
kind of comedy.
You love it.
Yes.
You love it.
So everybody in the cast was, the comedy troupe, which would be Timon and Pumbaa, and then the three or four. No, one of them didn't say anything.
Well,
one just laughed.
He just laughed.
Yeah, that's creepy.
Yeah.
You know that guy's a creeper.
Yeah. Oh, and Rowan Atkinson.
Yes, Mr. Bean.
Zazu.
Welcome to the menagerie, Mr. Bean.
For the longest time, I don't know why. Oh, no, I do know why. I thought it was Eric Idle.
Because
they sang the coconut song from Monty Python.
Ah. Gotcha.
But then I later realized it was Rowan Atkinson.
You're going to make people think that I enjoyed this movie.
I think to a degree. You enjoyed it so much so that you're able to use it for the kingdom.
Yes.
Which is what we're about to talk about.
Yes, that excites me.
Wasn't that a good segue?
That was a great segue, man.
Took 119 episodes.
3 years.
To get a good segue.
Teach your lion cubs well, Brendan. Well, how about, here's a little Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young for you.
But whoa, Michael, we're talking about Jesus. We can't even talk about those guys.
No, these are the hyenas.
Oh.
That you mispronounced their names.
Oh, Shinzi, Banzai.
Yeah, it's spelled that way, but it's pronounced Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young.
Oh, okay.
You who are on the road must have a code that you can live by, and so become yourself, because the past is just a goodbye. Teach your children well. Their father's hell did slowly go by, and feed them on your dreams. The ones they picks, the ones you'll know by. Don't ever ask them why. If they told you, you will cry. So just look at them and sigh and know they love you. That's an iconic song in America, in the Western civilization. Everybody knows that song. But this is what Mufasa does with his son. Teaches him why? Because this circle of life. That's what that Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young song is. It's about the circle of life. And the circle of life is a real thing. I remember when this movie was out, and there were a lot of Christians up in, oh, man, they're teaching our children, you know, these secular, new age things. It's not secular, that's new way, not new age. It's a fact of life. It is a fact. And the Bible actually addresses this type of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're going to focus on. So, yes, Mufasa, teach your lion cub well. Why? So they'll be of earthly good. Ah, hey. There it is.
Hey.
The ding, 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 ding. The streak continues.
Do we ever think it'll stop?
Nah. No, I hope not, because I think that's a message that I believe God's using us in order to present this message that's needed.
Perhaps.
To be taught. Okay, starting right off the beginning of the film, everybody's coming, all the animal kingdom is showing up to Pride Rock. And I guess this is going to be the first time that Mufasa and his wife are going to present young Prince Simba.
Yeah.
Right? And, well, then he grows up a little bit, and it comes time where, well, his father has been telling him, making him a promise, you know, to show him this kingdom that you rule over, father. What, I mean, what, What is it that you do? What is it that you're expecting of me in life? And they get up early one morning, and it's a great animated sequence of Simba bouncing on his dad, wake mm-hmm. up, pulling, tugging on his ear.
Before the sun rises, he's your son.
Well, yes. Well, and as little Simba's jumping all over his dad, Mufasa doesn't move a millimeter because
yeah.
yeah. he's a giant lion. He's the king of the jungle. But they go up, they go climb up for this view.
Everything the light touches is our kingdom.
Wow.
A king's time as ruler rises and falls like the sun. One day, Simba, the sun will set on my time here and will rise with you as the new king.
And this will all be mine?
Everything.
Everything the light touches.
Everything the light touches is everything. Our kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole lesson in there that we could have gone off. I mean, we're told to be salt and light. This goes back to Zootopia. Wow.
It never ended.
It never ended. No. Hey, Disney, something's weird. Disney is giving us great Christian themes.
Who would have thought?
Yeah, I bet you they didn't.
I thought they were part of the Illuminati.
They are.
Okay.
New World Order.
Yeah. Hey, room 237, the moon landing.
Pluto.
It's all there.
Come on, Pluto.
Hey, Pluto.
Everything that the light touches. You raised your hand like you had a point. Do you remember what that was? Or
I will ask you during the next sound clip.
Oh, right.
Okay.
And, you know, he does say, well, what about that shadowy area over there? We don't go in there. And therefore, here comes this enemy that we'll talk a little bit more about later on, but this enemy comes and entices this devil, right?
This
adversary.
Adversary.
This accuser. He fits all the bills.
Doesn't he?
Yes. And he's telling Simba, well, you know what's over in that Shadowland? Mm-hmm. It's this amazing elephant graveyard. Oh, you should see it.
An elephant's graveyard is no place for the son of a king.
Yeah.
Oh, I've said too much.
Yes.
Oh,
he knows just what to do, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And so Simba goes and gets his little girlfriend. Well, his little future wife. But they're just friends, right? Ew, gross. We're supposed to get married? Gross. She's my friend.
Right? That would be so weird.
And they make their way to the elephant graveyard.
They divert Zazu.
Hilarity ensues.
Yeah.
Yes.
He just can't wait to be king.
Right. And, well, anyway, they meet up with our three stooges, the hyenas.
Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
Yes. And it's spelled.
This was after Neil broke off to do his
yes.
own thing.
Yeah. You gotta sing like. anyhow. They're in a bad situation. They're going to be attacked by these hyenas, Crosby, Stills, and Nash. And here comes Mufasa and saves the day. But Mufasa is not happy with Simba because Simba directly disobeyed. Mm-hmm. Not like you accidentally disobeyed me. Not an oops, I didn't mean it. No, you directly, with malice aforethought.
You deliberately disobeyed me.
Deliberately.
Mm-hmm.
That's a powerful word. That's why we say that we watch movies deliberately or purposefully or
intentionally.
That's, yes. You know, those are all synonyms, right? And so he's going to have some words with his son. His son needs to be punished. But it turns out that this punishment, as any good father will do, will turn that into a teaching moment. A teaching moment, and Simba knows, hey, we're pals, Dad, aren't we pals?
Dad? We're pals, right?
Right.
And we'll always be together, right?
Simba, let me tell you something that my father told me. Look at the stars. The great kings of the past look down on us from those stars.
Really?
Yes. So whenever you feel alone, just remember that those kings will always be there to guide you. And so will I.
That's what these stars are for, son. I'm not going to always be with you. physically. This is the circle of life. My day is going to come, and then you are going to raise up a son after you. And you know, these stars up here represent the kings that have gone on before us. I'm a king. You are a king in waiting, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be watching over you. Well, how is he going to be watching over him? His father takes every opportunity to teach his lion cub well.
Sure.
That's where we are at this point in the movie. This is up to the almost to the point that we know everything that we're going to know about Mufasa and the way that he fathers his son. It reminds me of Deuteronomy chapter 6. This is verses 6 through 9. These always run through my mind because this is a timeless principle. God is saying through Moses to the children of Israel before they enter into the promised land, you know, these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons or your cubs, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. What is God saying to the fathers, to the Mufasas of that day that we can glean from? Teach your lion cubs well. Oh, why? So they'll be of earthly good. Moving right along, here comes El Diablo. Here comes the Satan, the adversary, the devil in Uncle Scar. Uncle Scar has been working in the background in order to set up the pawns for his takeover as king. Mm-hmm. Oh, he has a lot of anger towards little Simba, a lot of animosity, because if there was no Simba, he would be next in line.
That's right.
Right? He's got to take care of some stuff. And so, anyway, he sets up Simba. You've all seen the movie. He puts Simba in the position where Simba believes that he caused this stampede of these, whatever they were, water buffalo or...
Wildebeest. Yes, yes.
And they come down and, well, Mufasa dies in that stampede, really at the hands of Scar, of Satan, of the adversary.
Of the scheming.
Yes, and now he becomes the accuser.
It was an accident. I didn't mean for it to happen.
Of course you didn't. No one ever means for these things to happen. But the king is dead. And if it weren't for you, he'd still be alive. What will your mother think?
What am I gonna do?
Run away, Simba. Run. Run away and never return. Kill him.
Oh, gosh.
That's a bad man.
Yeah.
That's a bad lion.
Yeah.
Now he is the accuser. You killed your father. You know that you did. Well, what should I do? Run away. Oh, and leave me with my new kingdom.
Yeah.
And so Simba does run away, and he runs away, and he just wants to lie down and die. And here comes two characters, right? Straight from vaudeville.
Straight from the Great White Way.
There you go. And they show up, and they find this creature laying on the ground. Aren't sure what he is at first. And then one says, hey, it's a lion. Oh, my goodness, we got to get off here. And the other one says, well, wait, it's just a little lion.
He could be on our side.
Yes! Maybe he'll be on our side. He's so cute! And guess what? He was right! Because this lion grows up to be on their side.
Mm-hmm.
But, so they get Little Lion up, you know, sprinkling water on him, get Simba up, and, you know, hey, well, you know, what's the matter? Why so blue, kid?
More like a golden brown.
Vaudeville, slapstick. Yeah, anyway.
Kid, what's eating you?
Nothing. He's at the top of the food chain. The food chain!
So, where you from?
Who cares? I can't go back.
Ah, you're an outcast. That's great. So are we.
What'd you do, kid?
Something terrible, but I don't want to talk about it.
Good. We don't want to hear about it.
Come on, Timon. Anything we can do?
Not unless you can change the past.
You know, kid, in times like this, my buddy Timon here says you gotta put your behind in your past.
No.
I mean...
Amateur. Lie down before you hurt yourself. It's you gotta put your past behind you. Look, kid, bad things happen, and you can't do anything about it, right?
Right.
Wrong! When the world turns its back on you, you turn your back on the world.
Well, that's not what I was taught.
Oh! You gotta turn your back on the world! That's not what I was taught. By whom?
His
Mufasa.
Dad. Yeah.
Teach your lion cubs well. 2 Timothy 3, verses 12 through 15 out of the nearly King James Version.
Oh, yes.
Yes!
Almost authorized.
Paul says to Timothy, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ will suffer persecution. Oh, that's the situation that you're in right now, Simba. Well, he's going to go through it for a little while longer until he does learn the lesson. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That's the story of Scar. But you, Timothy, you, Simba, must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. And from childhood, you have known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. That is Paul obeying Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 9. Because he, what does he call Timothy? His spiritual son, his son in the faith, right? He loved Timothy as a son. Remember, Timothy, what I taught you. Simba, remember what I taught you. But Simba goes through this period where he does forget. And here they are. You know, Simba's grown up now, and he and his two buddies, what are their names again? Timon and
Pumbaa
are laying out underneath the stars, wondering, what are those, do you think, that are up in the sky?
Pumbaa, I don't wonder. I know.
Oh, what are they?
They're fireflies. Fireflies that got stuck up in that big bluish-black thing.
Oh, gee. I always thought they were balls of gas burning billions of miles away.
Pumbaa, with you, everything's gas.
Simba, what do you think?
Well, I don't know.
Oh, come on. Well,
come on, Simba.
We told flowers. Please.
Well,
give.
Somebody once told me that the great kings of the past are up there, watching over us.
Really?
You mean a bunch of royal dead guys are watching us? Who told you something like that?
Yeah.
What mook made that up?
Yeah, pretty dumb, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, you're killing me.
What? Now they're making
what
him.
Mook?
Yeah. Now they're making him feel foolish. You know, as he's trying to recall something that his father taught him, and throwing it out there, they're making fun of it. Brendan, he's forgetting those things that his father taught him. Now, in this situation, but something's going to happen. I think this is a good place for you to jump in with your point.
Something does happen. Simba remembers. He remembers who he is by remembering who his father is. Now, granted, it takes a lot of pushing from a crazy little monkey.
Creepy little monkey?
Creepy little monkey.
Yeah, there
creepy.
He is.
Creepy.
Yeah,
okay.
Come on, will you cut it out?
Cut out that well-mannered frivolity.
Yeah, but that's not time for that.
Now is not the time for the lightning round. That comes later.
It takes some pushing from Rafiki. It takes some pushing from Nala. Timon and Pumbaa, they don't really understand the Simba's background.
They're outcasts.
Simba's hidden it from him.
Yeah.
And I would dare say that he's hidden it so much that he's even started forgetting it completely himself. Just everything.
Yeah.
It takes Nala coming to him.
Well, if that's the effect that Scar's accusation had on him.
He was so far pushed out.
Well, he was convinced that it was his fault.
Yeah. He was convinced that Scar's lies were the truth.
Yes. Yes.
How far gone is that?
What will it take to get him back?
Oh. Well, it starts with remembering. And there's this huge, hugely dramatic scene in which, you know, Simba chases through the forest this crazy little baboon.
Yeah.
And then Rafiki kills
with the blue rump roast.
Yeah. Rafiki kills me. He's like, oh,
yeah.
He's right here. Right then, you know, yeah. he shows this little pun. He sees his reflection. Simba says, no, that's not.
Well, we heard in the trailer, you knew my father. Correction.
I know your father.
Yeah.
You know. But then Rafiki works a little of his shamanistic magic in the water, and then Simba sees his reflection change into his father.
Yeah.
And then at that point, there's this huge gush of wind. The storm clouds rise, but it's not a storm per se. It's this vision, this hallucination, this dream, this something, this huge spectacle in
Darth
nature.
Darth Vader.
No, Mufasa, but you're close. They're voiced by the same actor. But we see Mufasa form in the clouds, and he has this last message for Simba.
Simba, you have forgotten me.
No. How could I?
You have forgotten who you are, and so forgotten me. Look inside yourself, Simba. You are more than what you have become. You must take your place in the circle of life.
How can I go back? I'm not who I used to be.
Remember who you are. You are my son and the one true king. Remember who you are.
No, please, don't leave me. Father!
Wow, that is traumatic.
Yeah, and it's through this experience that he does remember. And thankfully, Rafiki puts a nice little
cap on it.
A cap on it, yes, thank you. He says, look, yeah, it's in the past, but you can either run from it or learn from it.
Mm.
And that is what Mufasa...
Is this the catharsis? Is this when one theme conquers another?
The climax.
Climax.
Yes.
Yes.
The catharsis is worked out during the falling action, the resolution. But yes, this would be the climax. Because once Simba makes the decision to go back and be of earthly good,
yes.
To his pride, once he makes that decision, the rest of the film is based on that decision.
Yeah, it's all downhill from
there.
It's
all downhill from there. Yes, sir. And that's the climax.
Yeah.
And it's really beautiful.
One theme conquers another.
Yeah.
What's the first theme? You did this. You are responsible for the death of your father. You're no good. You need to get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
To remember what I taught you and do it.
And do it. Don't just remember it and think about it. And then
that's what remember implies.
Sure.
It implies that you're going to do something.
You're going to let that memory
have
affect
an effect.
Your
yes.
actions.
Yes.
Yeah. From henceforth.
Yes.
Henceforth therewith, ergo.
That is remembering.
You know, that is, because I mean, how are you going to show that you remember if you don't change your actions and your behaviors?
James would give us a lot of information on that. Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
James.
Well, so does Paul, actually.
A lot of them do.
Well, so does John.
A lot of the epistles.
Yes, and so does Jude.
The apostles and the epistles. But no, he just remembers. He finally remembers.
So does Peter.
he just finally remembers who he is, and that is where he gets this surge of, call it power,
yeah,
bravery. He owns up.
A nice shot in the arm of some B-12.
Yeah.
Here you go. Have a B-12 shot.
Well, it's not a shot in the arm, but Rafiki hits him over the head.
Oh, there you go.
With
it's a shot on the head.
With the thing.
Yeah.
Whatever that staff is.
Well, why'd you do that? Doesn't matter. It's in the past.
It's in the past. Doesn't matter. So it just, to me, and this is where I'm going to bring in my Keyverse, just to build it up, though. Simba was living in the guilt and in the condemnation of that guilt of a sin that he was convinced that he committed. He thought that he was responsible for his father's death.
And he is no earthly good.
And therefore he is now, nor will he ever be
any earthly good.
Yeah. How could he be? How could someone so lowly, someone so depraved?
A worm such as I.
Oh, the worm. How could someone that bad be of any earthly good? So, Hakuna Matata. And I'll admit, even watching it now for this show, Hakuna Matata is not the best thing.
No.
It's really not.
That's why I kept out clips that had that.
No worries.
Yeah.
No, I think it means, when they say it, they mean no responsibilities.
Yeah.
When we are called to do something, we have responsibilities.
That's what Timon means, you know, because it's true. You do have to let the past go, but that's not what Timon's message is.
Right.
You turn your back on the world.
Yeah.
No,
on
that's
the world.
Wrong. Yeah. Yes.
And that's the kind of life that Simba was being
reared
into.
Yep.
Because it provided him solace.
Thankfully,
he was comforted.
The first theme was able to conquer the second theme in that case.
The controlling theme counters. No, excuse me. The controlling theme conquers the countering theme.
Gather around, children.
Well, we've already talked about it. But he's living in this condemnation. But then once he remembers, he knows that there is now no condemnation.
And there's restoration.
And once he remembers that,
yes,
he goes back.
Yes,
he takes the action and goes back to save his Pride Land.
Yes,
to save the family at Pride Rock. And that's where my key verse comes in, Romans 8:1. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Once we remember our Father, who our Father is, who our Heavenly Father is. Excuse me, that was disgusting. But
neti pot.
Yeah, neti pot. Where's it at?
Thankfully, this is just a podcast. We can do stuff like that.
Sure. Once we remember that because Jesus took on our sins,
yes,
we can stand blameless, and we are thus free to perform.
Yes. Amen. Amen. You know what? I was going to go to a passage in Romans, but we could go on and on and on like we do on every single episode. The themes lead one to another. This is jam-packed with great stuff. I want to get to my key text, but first, back in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10, this is out of the NILT, New Living Translation, Paul writing to Timothy, but you, Timothy, or what... Simba was saying to, I mean, what Mufasa was saying to Simba in that climactic scene right there.
Yeah.
But you, Simba, certainly know what I teach and how I live or lived and what my purpose in life is. You know my faith, my patience, my love, and my endurance. How do you know those things? How did Timothy know that about you, Paul? Because he was your spiritual son, and you loved him like a son, and you taught Timothy well. Mufasa taught Simba well. Key text is verse 14 of 2 Timothy chapter 3, out of the New Living Translation. But you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. You know they are true. For you know you can trust those who taught you. Boom! That's what Mufasa is saying to Simba. Remember, you can trust me. I'm the one who taught you these things. Remain faithful to what you have been taught. You know they are true. For you know you can trust those who taught you. That's the message that we can get, that I got, you know, out of this, my second viewing ever of The Lion King. I may not even have finished my first one. This may be my first complete viewing. It is, teach your children well, so they will be of earthly good. That's a message that it follows the entire panoply of Scripture. That's from the beginning, at least as far back as Deuteronomy chapter 6, all the way to Paul's letter to Timothy, one of his, you know, his last. Right? Wow, Brendan. Questions, comments, piggybacks, editorials, off-the-wall remarks?
No, I think we got
The Lion King.
Of course, we're going to leave some of the lion's share for our listeners.
No pun intended. We'll leave the heavy lifting to them. So, dear listeners, what Christian themes did you find in The Lion King? Ron of the Red Oaks, we are talking to you.
Potatoes.
Because I have a copy of the Lion King only because Ron of the Red Oaks made sure that I had a copy Lion King. I expect to hear some feedback and some ideas from you, Ron. What Christian themes did you find in The Lion King? And anybody else, please share them with us. We'll give you all the ways to contact us in just a few moments. But first, it's time for some feedback. Oh, coconuts. Kamuna Matata, Kamuna Huna. I don't know. It's King, whatever.
Come on, will you cut it out?
I'm sorry. I'm doing the best I can.
Creepy little monkey.
No, it's patron Saint Philip is going to take us down to King Philip's Stables of Doom. It's right there in the heart of the Elephant Graveyard. Philip left a comment on our last episode, Casablanca, episode number 118. You can get to that and read his comment in full and listen to the episode at ChristInCinema.com.
He says, "Hey guys, thanks for getting me to finally watch Casablanca."
See, we provide a service here.
Philip, that's how I felt too. It's one of those classics I needed to see, and it lived up to its reputation.
Do you feel that way too?
I agree. Okay. I do agree. He continues, "It was such a well-done film. It would be too much to list all of the aspects it excels in."
Yeah.
Yeah. "I particularly enjoy its historical aspect and the fact that it came out in 1942 when the world was in chaos and dealt with a real human situation in one of the world's little corners."
Yeah.
"I'm still confused as to how the Nazis had so little power in a French African nation when they had invaded France before. And how and to what extent French government collaborated with Germany."
I could surmise.
Might need a history buff.
I can't help you there.
Yeah.
That's above my pay grade.
Hey, anyways, one thing I get is how Rick displayed a good example of Christian love, not the romanticized Western version that often condones and promotes adultery. Rick's love for Ilsa went beyond his strong desire to be with her and to the point of doing what was best for her, keeping her together with her husband and sparing her a passionate decision that would have grave consequences later. Too often nowadays, we see stories where a spouse like Laszlo is a heel. Okay, pause. Gather around, children.
That's not an old-timey expression.
No, it's not. No, it's not. Okay. That is a wrestling term.
Oh, yes, it is.
That is a wrestling term. Okay. Thank you, Philip.
I thought you were going to turn to me and say, that's one of those old-timey things, isn't
it? No. That comes later.
Oh, yeah. with the lightning round, doesn't it?
Now is not the time for the lightning round. That comes later.
Oh, Bane. Where Laszlo is a heel.
Of my existence.
And the writer tries to get the audience to root for a breakup of the marriage so that the protagonists can be together.
Yep, hey, he's exactly right.
I mean, where's the nail?
Yeah.
It's on the head. That's where it's at.
Nail?
At the same time. Yeah, there you go. At the same time, these were not one-dimensional vanilla characters who were goody two-shoes. They were imperfect and complex and had a genuine feel to them. Didn't they, though?
Yeah.
Because I'll be honest with you, as much as Laszlo was a heel, I felt for the guy.
Well, yes.
I mean,
you can sympathize with him.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, escaping from a concentration camp is no small feat.
See, you right now just exhibited what Rick exhibits in his life in Casablanca. You learn from the episode. You are a rank sentimentalist.
Oh, stop.
Or a sympathizer.
Sympathizer. Here's some more classics in the future. Hey.
Yes.
Hey, do we need to review or relay to him and our listeners what we think we've chosen next?
Well, just in our upcoming segment, just say we're going to get to such and such.
Okay, blah, blah, blah. Okay.
Yeah, moving right along.
Here's to more classics in the future. Happy Thanksgiving, you guys.
You too.
I'm thankful for what you do in the community around it. Love the show. Hashtag
MoWeLad Gimlet. Gimlet, Gimlet, Gimlet. More great feedback from patron Saint Philip. Thank you so much, Philip, and everybody else. We want to hear from you as well. We'll give you all the ways to contact us here in just a few moments. But first, it's time for some
well-mannered frivolity.
Thank you, Minerva. Oh, and I did just finish the
prisoner.
No.
Goblet.
Order of the Phoenix.
Order.
Okay. Oh my goodness. Anyway, hey, Brendan, the Wizard of Oz. All this week, my kids performing in one of the productions. They have two going on, an adult production and then this homeschool theater group production. That's what my kids are involved in. And, man, I went yesterday with my wife and my little one. And, oh, good. Four-year-old Tabby was riveted.
Oh, wow.
Watching that. But, of course,
so
her big brother was the Scarecrow. And if I do say so.
Of course.
Micah nailed it. Knocked it out of the park. Just a fun performance. All the kids were so excellent in this production. My daughter, my third child, Maddie, she's in it as well. She played the human version. She was Hunk, the human version of the Scarecrow.
The Scarecrow, yes.
And
yes.
She did other ensemble things.
Okay.
You know, Munchkin and, you know, Raven. And
was she a monkey?
I don't know. I don't think she was a monkey. Oh, okay. She was one of the crows. I know
she,
that.
If she were a monkey,
is a monkey, though.
Would she have been a creepy little monkey?
No, because that is, we're not talking about monkey movies.
So who wants to ride a gorilla movie?
Creepy little monkey.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
So that was a whole lot of fun. What are you doing?
Oh, right now just steeped in the last bit of schoolwork for this semester.
Yeah.
We're going over the Theban plays.
The Theban?
Theban of Thebes. The Oedipus.
As
I've discovered in my audiobook research...
They had audiobooks back then?
No.
Hold
up, Michael.
Oh, gosh.
Because your boy can more easily listen to an audiobook of these plays than I can sit down and read. And in the translation that I'm listening to, it was produced by Audible's UK branch, by the way. Very finely done,
I
must say.
They do things.
And it actually features FCC's very own Hayley Atwell.
Oh, really?
I believe as Antigone.
And that is Agent Carter?
Yes, Agent Peggy Carter. Yes, sir. But yeah, just listening to these plays.
So she got better because she died in the last movie.
Well, yeah, she's back to doing this.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah, she's alive and well. Hey, I mean, who doesn't believe in the resurrection? Am I right?
Am I right?
Hey, that being said, apparently I've been saying Oedipus wrongly my whole life.
I thought it was Oedipus.
They say Oedipus.
Oh, well.
And
okay.
I thought about it.
Yeah,
but wait a minute. Think about the word phoenix. Phoe.
Well, then I've been saying it wrong my whole life, too.
The same O-E that's at the beginning of
Brendan, the Oedipus. Brits have forgotten how to speak English.
We need to remind them.
They add letters, and they have weird words that make no sense. Yeah, that they call anything that you, any kind of jelly or a jam or any of that is called jam. So they don't even recognize the difference between jelly and jam and preserves.
Preserves or marmalade?
Yeah. No, it's all just jam. Mm. See? Backwards. Hey.
But even in the midst of all the schoolwork.
Yes.
Even in the midst of the Oedipus cycle.
Yes, Oedipus Rex.
There is
Reeks.
Still time.
Oedipus Reeks?
No. No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay.
There is still time for Lost.
Oh, yes, a Lost update. We need some kind of a tag for that.
It's a trap.
No, it's
not a trap. It's a trap I want to be in if
yes.
It's a trap. So apparently last week I did forget to give a Lost update, but...
It's the Lost update.
Oh, where's it at?
Yes.
It's like the Missing Monday movie reviews.
Oh.
Where are they?
I don't know.
But hey, son's pregnant.
Yes.
Son's pregnant.
Who's son?
Oh, son is Jen's wife.
Who's Jen?
You sound like one of my kindergartners. Every time I say
something.
Why
are something, you wearing a warm girl's jacket? Oh, if they don't follow us on Facebook or Twitter.
I hope not. It's a cardigan, but thanks for noticing. Oh, man. Okay, son's pregnant. Who is this Henry Gale character?
I don't know. Who is it?
I don't know. The last I saw, they found the balloon.
Wow.
And they found that grave, but Mr. Echo, no, Saeed. I feel for Saeed so much.
A great character.
Great character. It's like you said, Michael, they are all really great
characters.
It's
just character development. In the trenches
of this character development is where I'm at.
Yeah.
But who is this Henry Gale guy?
I don't know.
It's apparently obvious that he lied about his identity. And yet he is still now. He still says, look, still just call me Gabe. Or just call me Henry Gale.
How many episodes are you cooking through in a week, would you say?
I'd say at least about three.
Okay.
So
hopefully next week will be three ahead, and maybe...
Please don't say anything. Because even if you, like, breathe anything of a future...
No, I'm just thinking maybe we can get another Lost update next week.
Well, it won't be next week, though.
So
there'll be two weeks worth of updates.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh.
More on that.
I might finish, because we're out of school next week for the Thanksgiving, I might go ahead and finish up season two.
Hey, and it's a good thing that Thanksgiving is coming up. My in-laws are in town.
Hey.
The house is crazy. I'm not sleeping in my room. My wife and I are not sleeping in my room. My oldest daughter is not sleeping in her room. And the studio is actually a makeshift, I don't want to call it a triage, but... But there was a cot in here. It did look like mash.
All right.
That was for my oldest daughter. So it's a good thing that we have next week off.
Hey, there you go.
And it's going to give me an opportunity to work on some stuff for the super duper secret Tolkien podcast.
Very secret.
I need to start working on sound clips and things like that. And,
I don't want anyone to spill the secret.
You know, so it's a good thing. Brendan and I were thinking, well, what can we do?
It could burn the place down if it were a secret.
I don't know what you're even talking about.
Oh, I see. Pretty good.
I don't know why that's so funny.
So anyway, do you have any other well-mannered frivolity?
Oh, no, but I have one half.
Of a lightning round! What's that?
Okay, so talking about Oedipus.
Yes.
Oedipus. Whoever this guy
Oedipus
is.
Oedipus reeks.
Oedipus. Oh, doesn't he?
I don't know.
Now I get it. Oh.
Oh.
Now I feel bad, because now I got it.
Yes.
Okay, all right, I see what you're doing. Okay.
Okay,
stop that.
Oh, I see. Pretty good.
Okay, watch, I'm going to do my lightning round in a minute, and it started at 2:00.
Okay.
Okay, on YouTube,
yes,
there's the full video production of something called The Gospel at Colonus. It is based on the play Oedipus at Colonus, which is the sequel to Oedipus Rex.
Oh.
This shows what his exile and his death are like.
Oh.
The play. But the thing about The Gospel at Colonus, this video starring Morgan Freeman.
Is he FCC? Yes, of course.
Shawshank, yes.
And Batman.
He is Oedipus.
Yeah. Oh.
But the play is set in the form and in the style of a charismatic Pentecostal assembly.
Holy rollers!
Check it out. Link is in the show note. It is, dare I say, glorious. Look, I finished my lightning round.
There you go. And the link to that YouTube video will be, or the link to our show notes is at the bottom of our blog post for this episode of Finding Christ in Cinema. Okay, real quick, everybody out there, alert! Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou? Is streaming on Netflix.
Oh, man.
Just got on Netflix. We don't know how long it will be on Netflix, but we are adding it to Patron Saint Philip Presents
The List, bumping it up.
So we will hopefully be doing that very early in the year.
Sure.
Because that's going to be a nice little odyssey of sorts.
Won't it though?
Oh, boy.
Oh, man.
That cracked me up. But anyway, so there you go. Lightning rounds all over. Brendan, what is coming up?
Oh, well, you know, we're taking a break for next week.
Yes. Good thing, you know, too. Did I tell you?
Yeah, yes, you did.
My in-laws are in town. And I can work on the Tolkien show.
Hey.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Whew, I thought you were going to spill
the secret. I got a video to put together, too, from One Day of Hope I haven't even touched.
Oh, well, hey. There you go.
Yep.
But after next week.
Yes.
Christmas time.
Oh, it's Christmas time in Middle Tennessee.
In FCC.
Yeah, and maybe other places as well.
Because we'll be covering the Muppet Christmas Carol.
Yes!
We'll be covering Arthur Christmas.
Oh, but you're going to love it.
And Lord willing.
And the creek don't rise.
No, oh, no,
Lord willing, we won't get around to.
Rise. We will be covering A Christmas Story.
And I have talked to Jonathan, FCC's very own Jonathan Tucker. And
we need to give him a stinker.
Well, he has, yes, there you go. He has agreed to come in and tell me why we should be doing this movie on Finding Christ in Cinema. So if we're able to work the schedule to get him into the studio for that, we're going to do that, and that's going to take a big load off of my shoulders. I won't even have to watch
you don't
it.
You have to watch the movie. It'll just be the Brendan and Jonathan.
And then what
hour.
After Christmas?
Oh, well, oh, after Christmas, Michael.
Yes.
It's time for the year-end countdown.
Oh, I forgot about that. I got to start working on that.
I don't.
Oh, no.
No, I'm sure it'll be a fun episode.
Yeah, I'm sure.
After that, I think we have lined up, but you know, we want to do K-Pax.
Yeah.
We want to do Super 8.
Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou?
Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou? Are those the ones
Macbeth.
That... Oh, Macbeth!
Yeah.
Oh, don't say that in the theater.
Oh, that Scottish play.
That'll be... No, we're not a theater.
Oh.
We're theatrical.
Well, this is a theater mind.
Hey.
So there you go. That Scottish play.
That will be
that Scottish movie.
That will be our first foray into Shakespeare.
Will it? Well, yeah, I mean direct.
Direct, you know, yes. Yes, not implied like this.
The Lion
like
King.
The Lion King or something.
Many other things, yes.
Sure.
Probably a bunch of superhero movies.
So a lot of good stuff coming up.
Yeah.
We need to also think about what classical movie we're going to do.
What were we talking about before the show?
Well, we had talked about last week doing The African Queen.
Yes. Which is also streaming on Netflix.
Sure. But before this show in particular, I'm kind of pulling toward what you suggested.
I think it's a necessary movie to do.
To Kill a Mockingbird.
Yes. Gregory Peck.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. But whatever happens.
Whatever it is.
Finding Christ in Cinema is live in the GCT Network studio each Friday, Lord willing, unless it's Thanksgiving week or Christmas week or the creek don't rise or the creek does rise. At around 5 p.m. Eastern Time, you can join us for live video and especially chat using the chat room and the video player at gctnetwork.com/live. Finding Christ in Cinema is part of the Great Commission Transmission Network, a listener-supported ministry using new media and social networking to equip and encourage you to go into all the world and proclaim the good news to everyone. To find out more and to partner with us, visit us at gctnetwork.com/donate. Now, to witness the firepower of this fully armed and operational digital ministry, including all 119 episodes of Finding Christ in Cinema, Brendan's long gone Monday movie review.
Where are they?
And links to all our social media profiles, visit our website at christincinema.com. You can send us email. Just address that to fcc@gctnetwork.com.
You can call us up on the voice line at 507-407-GCTN.
Uh-huh.
And if that phone number doesn't work...
That's shocking.
Put in another quarter and call us
These
at 507...
These are dark times.
Yeah.
407-4286.
Yeah,
come on, will you cut it out?
Just cut it out.
Hey, creepy little monkey.
Yeah. That's you.
Creepy little monkey.
Now, let's say you just want to listen to the podcast.
I do.
Good.
How?
Here's how you can do it.
Oh.
You can go to iTunes.
Uh-huh.
If you want a gorilla movie.
I do want a gorilla movie. Everybody
wants
a gorilla
movie. Who wants to write a gorilla movie?
You can go to Stitcher if you're a Miracle Man.
Oh, no. There are no Miracle Mans. Oh, yeah. There's Joaquin.
I'm a Miracle Man.
But if the air gets to it.
The air got to it.
You can go to TuneIn Radio. And if those three wombats don't work for
no.
you.
No. Not those nope. three wombats. No way.
Because this is not some cute technology.
Like
Iron Man suit. You know, it throws me off when you do that.
I know.
It throws me off.
And it's fun, and it sounds
bumbling,
like...
Bumbling band of baboons.
You can now go to Google Play Music and search them all for Finding Christ in Cinema.
Oh, I see. Pretty good.
And for all the shows that we produce here at the Great Commission Transmission Network, including our forthcoming super duper secret Tolkien podcast, and our brothers in Texas, the Theonauts, get over to our official website at gctnetwork.com. Mr. Brendan Taylor, anything else?
He's invisible.
I don't like disturbances in my place. I either lay off politics or get out.
And that is a wrap!
Come on, will you cut it out?
I will.
Francisco, that's fun to say.
Hey, Scott!
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Creepy little monkey.
You are tuned in to the GCT Network.
This is your Great Commission transmission.
At GCTnetwork.com.
This is your Great Commission transmission.